Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point, then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Good evening, good evening. Happy Tuesday to you. This is Pancakes and Power Slams once again coming at you, invading the airwaves. I am Chris Featherstone, along, as always, with Ryan Fuqua.
Good evening out there. Just a little bitter today since Crave Wrestling wasn't invited to be a part of the Money Mayweather team Saturday. So Triple H got our invite. Yeah.
Triple H got the invite, but Crave Wrestling did not. But that's all right, though. I'm sure one of these days soon we'll get a call in the offices from Mayweather's staff, and it won't be with an angle with the Big Show at WrestleMania. So
yeah,
so we will go on to last week's errors. Just one error, actually. I said something about Air Cross on YouTube. Air Cross is the person who, as you hear the Pancake and Power Slams theme song, he is the one behind it. Did a great job. Check him out on iTunes. I believe he may be on YouTube, but I intentionally meant to say iTunes. Eric Cross, Pancakes and Power Slams theme song. He makes some great music. And this week's news, actually last week, we forgot to mention that Rey Mysterio was suspended for 60 days for violating a wellness policy. There's a bunch of speculation going on. Mysterio said that there was some type of drug in his and some type of something he's taken for weight loss. So that's his reasoning. Dolph Ziggler debuts the Bodyguard at a house show. The Bodyguard is Mason Ryan. Had a pretty controversial I had a pretty controversial article up on Bleacher Report. Go check it out about that. Feel free to comment. Goldust released from his WWE contract. A lot of speculation saying that it was based on some type of SmackDown encounter a couple weeks ago that caused him to be released. Really wish him the best in his future endeavors, literally, because he's been a really good hand and as an agent for the WWE. Carlito criticizes Triple H for no-selling his injury, coming out for Money Mayweather, and then he retracts a little bit when there was it said that he was wearing a sling. So that was, and lastly, Zach Gowen and his wife has a baby boy. So that is this week's news. We will go on to Raw. John Laurinaitis comes out, explain why he beats up John Cena. He says that because Cena called him an idiot, and he went retro on us. He showed some New Japan, some All Japan Pro Wrestling pictures, and shout out to Dr. Death Steve Williams and Terry Bam Bam Gordy. They both have passed away, and they both were shown at the pictures that John Laurinaitis has shown. And CM Punk comes out. he starts vouching for John Cena, and this is the this is the most the time that I've seen CM Punk advocate John Cena the you know ever. This is the most time that I've seen him advocate him ever. It's just really outside of CM Punk's. Because I remember he was even teaming with him doing the voice of the voiceless, and he even, you know, was giving him some prefaces like, we're not friends, and I'm just doing this for, you know, for the cause, basically. But he just comes out and vouches for him, goes to show how much just his angle, I mean, his gimmick has just been tarnished and tampered with over the past 6 months or 6 to 9 months. So interesting little segment out there. One last thing about that segment, John Laurinaitis explains why his voice was raspy, and he said that he injured his throat while he was wrestling in All Japan. So interesting way to start off the show.
Yeah, it was a definitely a little history lesson. I actually got a lot out of that because I didn't know, of course, I didn't know how he injured himself and his voice. I just thought he was born that way. Didn't know about him teaming up with Dr. Death Steve Williams, so a little history lesson. But other than that, man, I couldn't really wait for this to end until CM Punk came out. He pretty much saved that segment. But only other thing I take from this, why is Laurinaitis feuding with Cena and Punk? Like, okay, I get that, the top whoever, we've seen this type of storyline plenty of times, but both these shows are overran with heels. Like, Laurinaitis shouldn't even have to do this with Cena and Punk, so I don't know. That's just my thing on that, man. I'm not big on the Laurinaitis thing.
Yeah, I am not as well. And by the way, all the listeners, all the new listeners, thank you so much for joining us, and all the frequent listeners, you know the drill, 347-884-8452. The chat room is open. There's actually a topic. The topic is, what is your favorite WWE Raw moment of all time? And have at it in the chat room. And, of course, the worthy comments will be, you know, read live on the air. So, but, yeah, I'm not so much in favor of Cena and Laurinaitis as far as a pay-per-view is concerned without a big build to it. Now, I was in favor of Laurinaitis and Punk on Elimination Chamber because they were thinking about doing that, but that had a build to it, and Elimination Chamber, you know, wasn't necessarily it's still considered a minor pay-per-view, and it was a good little segue or a little bridge between the Rumble and WrestleMania. But now it's just a matter of, you know, John Cena. I mean, there's not really a bridge. I mean, there's Over the Limit, and then there's No Way Out and Money in the Bank, and then what? I mean, at least after the Cena and Lesnar feud, we see some potential going on with Lesnar as far as who he's going to feud with. But I don't see, nor do I hope, that the Cena and Laurinaitis feud stretches out past this pay-per-view. I mean, if anything, it may be Tensai, but they're thinking about Tensai with Punk. By the way, cheap plug for, I wrote an article today on Lower Tensai, and it's go to bleacherreport.com and check it out. The title was Thank You for Coming, Lower Tensai, but you've overstayed your welcome. So that's the title of the article, and it's a lot of comments, and for the most part, people is in favor for what I'm saying. But of course, you have the IWC marks that just are the antagonists. So yeah, going on to the next segment, we have the backstage segment with Big Show. Laurinaitis does his texting as always, and Big Show bumps into him, and Laurinaitis, Big Show ended up mocking Laurinaitis, and Then he sees Eve, and that leads to the match between Big Show and Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes walks out, so Big Show wins by count out. And all of a sudden, we see Eve come out post-match, and it forces the Big Show to apologize. Now, the whole segment, all three parts of that whole thing between Eve, Laurinaitis' show, and Rhodes was just a complete waste of time to me. I don't see any... I mean, it's not going to stretch to anything. It's not going to lead to anything. I hope it doesn't, because Show and Laurinaitis, or Show and Tensai, maybe Show and Tensai, just to throw both of them, you know, in a feud, but it would just be one of the most awful and slow and just sluggish matches that I would see probably in a quite some time. So if anything positive I can pull out of this, it's that it was good that Cody Rhodes lost by count out, because at least that stretches the feud a little bit. So I hope that I wish that it was gone. I wish that the feud wasn't even going on. But if they do, you know, have to continue the feud, you know, I guess this is, you know, the best option that could happen.
Yeah, I definitely was time to move on for both of them. But I'd have to say first, though, like you said, with the Eve promos, man, she is just the worst. Like, maybe it's not her being a heel and us being mad and she's doing her job. It's just awful acting. I mean, acting is so bad. I know I said a few weeks ago it's so bad I get a nosebleed. And so ever since then, I've been calling her Nosebleed Eve. Because every time I see, I don't know if it's like being up on a high ladder or something. I can't. It's rough. It is hard to watch an Eve segment. But anyways, going away from that. I did like Show's Laurinaitis impression. That was a little silly. But yeah, this, like you said, just another match between these two with just another funky ending. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'm sure they'll have an OTL match over the limit. But yeah, this isn't really David and Goliath. It's just smoke and mirrors. Shout out to his old theme and Cody's other theme. I mean, they just think of something weird for each finish. But yeah, it's time to move on. Definitely time to move on for both of them.
Yeah, Rhodes is the Intercontinental Champion, so they can put anybody in his path. You know, as far as a mid card babyface,
gotta defend it.
Yeah, but in addition to that, you know, what, real quick, what mid-card face can you think of on the top of your head that would be in a feud with Cody Rhodes after a show?
Yikes. Once again, they're overran with heels. It's tough, yeah. And they don't want to bring anybody up. They don't, I mean, so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's the only person, Kid Gabriel.
People, yeah, I was going to say, a couple of people are hurt that I could think of, like DiBiase or Gabriel. Is he still hurt? You know, I don't.
Yeah, he's still hurt. Yeah, his ankle, I believe.
And Kid and Riley don't really get any TV time, so.
Right.
Man.
I know how we are with that. You know, we're Riley fans, so we'll definitely be pro Riley, but it doesn't seem like they're going to do anything with that guy. So, you're right, man. I mean, because it is tough, because Kid and Gabriel, they're talking about reforming them, you know, solidifying them as a tag team. So that pretty much wipes that out. So you got Riley and Kali, if anything.
Oh,
and I wasn't surprised with that. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me though, because they've been kind of mini feuding, you know, here and there. So
that wouldn't
surprise me. You know, in the perfect world, Jericho turns face, wins the title for the 10th time. You know, just to make it number 10. You know, because he's nine times, and you know that'd be cool. So. Yeah, Dolph Ziggler defeats Kofi Kingston, and they showed AWE or All World Enterprises backstage, and then Mason Ryan appears out of nowhere. So they're kind of testing the waters with the Mason Ryan and Dolph Ziggler tandem.
Like it.
The only thing with that is that it kind of leaves the question. I wrote a lot on the article about that. It leaves the question, you know, where does that put Ziggler? I had a poll question of, you know, what does Mason Ryan do to his career? The options were Ziggler becomes champ within a year, absolutely nothing, or it'll help Mason Ryan more than Dolph Ziggler, or I've given up on Ziggler. The most popular answer was it'll help Mason Ryan more than Dolph Ziggler, and it was a ton of votes. And that's the hard part, though. And I can see that, and that would just make it even worse because the whole point is to elevate Dolph Ziggler's career. So, you know, I'm not 100% against it, but I just don't. I really think that Dolph Ziggler just needs to get away from affiliating himself with someone because Vicky Guerrero kind of held him down. And if he's with Mason Ryan, that's still someone to kind of take the spotlight away from him because, you know, he'll have a cheap win and Mason Ryan will be in a forcer role. It is still kind of, you know, hold him back a little bit in my opinion. So, and real quick, Kofi Kingston jobs after winning the World Tag Team title. I think, if anything, that was a little bit too early to just job to Kofi to Dolph Ziggler. Seemingly, it's going to lead to a tag team title match between them and Ziggler and Swagger. But still, though, I mean, you know, you had Swagger interfere, but. It's still too early for them to be fresh as tag team champions for Kingston just to take the job.
Yeah, not really much to speak on that, the match, because, I mean, we know both those guys can produce. I mean, you got CNS OS, so that's all, it's cool. But, like I said, I agree with you about the Dolph breaking off and doing his own thing, but I'm okay with Mason Ryan, so I kind of okay. I'm okay with him being in Dolph's corner, and plus, I think he should get away from Vicky and Swagger. I think Swagger should just have Vicky in his corner only now, because, like you said, Vicky's kind of still in Ziggler's steam. Like, I laugh at her out there more than I do, you know, watching these guys wrestle sometimes. But I don't know. I like the Dolph and Mason Ryan thing, but here's the thing: if it wasn't for Dolph being so good at being a heel, this would be the perfect opportunity to build him up as a face right now. Because, like I said, there's no faces that are. I mean, they got to turn somebody face here soon build them up. Like, this is perfect opportunity, but Dolph is like a Triple H career heel. You know, like, Tripp can go face, but he's definitely better as heel. And then AW with Epico and Primo, man, they dropped the ball there. Maybe AW should have got with Mason Ryan instead of getting with a tag team.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm not feeling it with those two in AW. Like, I don't know. So Epico and Primo have two managers now? I don't really...
You know, that was interesting. It's interesting that you said that, because I actually wrote an article about on Bleacher Report about, you know, AW signing Epico and Primo. I made a reference to that, and I had one of the comment critics say that Rosa was a valet. So technically, you know, It's not two managers, but I'm going to have to disagree with that. And you know, because I have two open forums, one my own show, and two my own column. So you know, I can openly say that no, that it's absolutely wrong. Rosa is more than just a valet. A valet is a Stacey Keibler to the Dudleys. She came out and she just walked, and she was just eye candy. But Rosa, she cuts promos. She gets involved in matches, just like someone like a Sherry Martel, who was a bona fide manager. Yeah. She was actually called the queen of managers. So it's hard for me to, you know, really go back and forth with someone who those internet critics that just don't make much sense. But, you know,
well,
that's...
They've even plugged it before, saying that since they got with Rosa and the managerial services, they've done better and things like
that.
Yeah, so exactly. A valet doesn't help you with that. A valet, you know, the manager usually helps you. Yeah.
Exactly.
But, oh, well, whatever.
Great, great point there. Very, very well said there. Yeah, so, you know, if whoever's listening and if the people are out there that's if the person's out there, it's a couple, I think it's maybe two or so people that was criticizing my my take on her being a manager over a valet and AW having two man, you know, the Epico and Primo essentially having two managers now. Feel free to call in 347-884-8452. 347-884-8452, and anybody else we're talking about Raw right now, feel free to call in. And of course, the chat room is usually pretty hot every week. And like I said, the topic is, what is your favorite WWE Raw moment of all time? I haven't even thought. It was a question I thought about to get the chat room running, but I can't even think about that right now. It'll probably pop up, but I can't even think about that right now. But like I said, worthy answers will be set on air. And thank you for joining us as always every week here. Going forward here to the John Cena interview. Not really. I mean, I guess the only thing I can get from that I can get from this is that John Cena can cut promos. And that's really the only thing. I mean, it did nothing to really help build. It didn't do anything to gain steam for the match at Over the Limit. It's just that it's really tough to just feel like you have to have John Cena on air. I mean, he could have sold the injury. He didn't have to be on air. You could have saved the promo via satellite. We just didn't need to see it. Sometimes it's okay to have John Cena be absent. I mean, even when he was fired, when Wade Barrett fired him from the next
deal round,
what was that? Late 2010 Survivor Series of 2010 or around there somewhere. 2010.
Every week.
Yeah, and so he was fired, and he still came. He still
was. Yeah.
I mean, you know, what an active wrestler, quote-unquote fired wrestler.
Well, you get drafted to SmackDown and then back to Raw in the same draft, too. So,
That's their thing
with Cena, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, that's a good reference there. But, you know, what inactive wrestler comes and you know, invades the backstage. I mean, it's like, you know, that's like saying Goldust coming back next week and, you know, beating someone, you know, backstage, and they put it on camera. Like, I mean, he's, you know, he's released, you know, from his contract. He's done. He's no longer a part of the WWE. I know it was storyline purposes of why Cena was fired, quote unquote fired, but I mean, play it though. I mean, play you know, play the role, play the angle. Don't just show him still every week. So we could have done without the interview, honestly, if there was a you know, one or two spots that I could have taken out of the or thrown away from the night. It definitely would have been the Cena interview to me, because it just didn't do anything to help anything.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they dropped the ball with this. Should have just had him take time off after the ER match, and because this was just kind of boring and just another I'll never give up, I'll never quit promo by him. The same thing as usual. But I mean, if they would have just let him come back right after OTL, I mean, that, you know, would have built more hype. The fans would have been happy to see him because they'd have went 3 weeks without the top dog. No matter how you feel about Cena, you want to see him on Raw. Don't front.
Yeah.
You know you want. I don't care if you're on the I hate Cena side. You want to see him. And then,
yeah,
like you said, I mean, taking a little, just to take a little shot at him, he actually brought it via satellite. So
yeah, exactly.
I don't know, Rock can maybe get on him there.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. I mean, people want to see Cena. You know what I mean? And just like I'm, you know, you and I both, we're extremely avid Ohio State football fans, but we still want to see Michigan, you know, play and lose. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of times it's just as equivalent to an Ohio State win. So you know, you want to see John Cena on TV. You know, kudos to Eric Bischoff. You know, he wrote a book called Controversy Creates Cash, and you know, it couldn't have said it any better. So we go on to Chris Jericho and Alberto Del Rio defeating Sheamus and Randy Orton. Sheamus accidentally broke, kicks Orton. Jericho pins Sheamus, and Orton RKO's. Sheamus post match. This match was phenomenal to me. I thought that this was easily the match of the night. This is probably one of the matches of the year, really, as far as Raw is concerned. It was a long match. It was good. It was solid. Jericho wins. That's a big surprise. He actually pinned Sheamus. That surprised me as well. So, but there's one thing that I thought about. Another plug, another Bleacher Report plug. Article that I wrote today called Weekly 27. Go to bleacherreport.com, and it'll be a weekly Raw article that I'll write every week, and called Weekly 27. I used to have an article called Yes, No, Maybe outside of Bleacher Report, and it's a modification of that called Weekly 27. So check it out. One of the things that I wrote on that was I missed the times that the WWE didn't have to, you know, feature the world title or world champion for every pay-per-view. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still, you know, I'm a traditionalist. I don't think that the title has to be defeated, you know, defended every single pay-per-view. They could have, you know, they could do a tag match, you know, on a minor pay-per-view to build or to even, you know, start a storyline. For instance, just imagine if this was the main event for Over the Limit, or one of the main events for Over the Limit. I'm sure that you know, they could do the four way for the world title, and this could, you know, they could have done retract that. They could have done the CM Punk and Daniel Bryan for the WWE title, and they could have done, you know, this tag match. And just imagine, it's a minor pay-per-view. Sheamus accidentally broke, kicks Orton. And now, you know, there's your cliffhanger for the next month or two of, you know, how that's going to pan out. They're both baby faces, and, you know, what happens. But instead, they just got to throw it in there now, because 3 weeks build a pay-per-view, it's hard to just really get a good build in. Now it's a fatal four-way match, which I'm in favor of. I'm in favor of that idea, but I truly believe that it could have been built a whole lot better. And you know, cheap plug for Ryan Fuqua, here we go, hashtag Super Show. Jericho's on Raw, and he's on the he's in the Fatal Four Way match. So
yeah,
that was my take on that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, classic WWE head scratcher right here. I mean, this is crazy. Over the Limit this month, I mean, I don't know what they're doing with the reverse title shots on different shows. I don't know, are they trying to switch the WWE and world title from Raw and SmackDown? Because it's It's been a long time since the world title has been the premier title for Raw. I know when Triple H had it, with Evolution, it was.
Batista, then, I believe, too. Yeah.
Yeah, and then
Batista
John Cena had it for a while. I think his reign as world title. So.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, it was maybe we need a little shake up like that. I don't know. Maybe that'll, you know. And then that's a chance to maybe change the WWE title belt, but that might be an upcoming flavor of the week, so stay tuned on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, this was a good match. I mean, and for how you said the pay-per-view thing with the tag team, I know you said, you know, they don't have to defend it, but they could have even done this as a tag match, and then whoever gets the pinfall is the new world champion. So that would add a little something other than just a fatal four-way, you know? So
yeah.
Just something different. I don't know.
Yeah. What was that they did with that? Was it the McMahons against Kane and The Undertaker?
Undertaker, and Rock. Yeah, it was Triple H and Vince and Shane against Rock, Taker, and Kane. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember what pay-per-view that was.
I think it was a King of the Ring, maybe, or Judgment Day. So I want to say King of the Ring, but might have been, because Taker came back that Judgment Day before Biker Taker.
Right, yep, exactly. So we'll see, you know, if it's not the correct answer, of course, it'll be on the errors for next week. So real quick, chat room here. Sean makes a good point. He says next week is the go-home show for Over the Limit with little time to build, plus pay-per-view buyers just spend loads of money on WrestleMania. So that's a great point because, I mean, you're going to want to make it a pay-per-view that people would still want to buy, you know, and I believe the WrestleMania is upwards of $55 now or something up there. And so, I mean, you know, so relatively you're spending $85-$90 you know, in 1 month's time, you know, just about. Well, actually, a month and a half's time, you're spending over $100, $110, $115. So, you know, it makes it kind of tough in that sense. I mean, you're going to want to make it, like, for instance, times like this, since you're not going to spread it and you're still expecting these pay-per-view buys, you're going to want to make the card, you know, like a can't miss, you know what I mean? And it seems pretty predictable to me. I don't see Daniel Bryan winning the title, although it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful match.
Maybe the title switch, and that means Jericho would have to win the world title to bring it to Raw.
Of course, personally, I would love that.
WWE to SmackDown.
To SmackDown. Yeah, that could be possible.
Maybe.
That could be possible. The only thing I don't like about that is
fantasy of the week.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about that, though, is that I still want Jericho to have that WWE, you know, title run. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just putting over Punk, you know, there's been some really, really good articles on Bleacher Report written by numerous amount of people about just there's no point. I mean, Jericho just came to put over Orton twice. Punk twice, and you know, Orton. I keep saying Orton. I guess that's some type of indication of who Jericho might put over Orton next. I hope that's not going to happen. But knowing how Jericho is, man, he's a team player. He probably do the same exact thing. So. But yeah, putting over Punk twice, he didn't have to be put over. I mean, he was just larger than life last year. I think I made reference to that last week, and it just doesn't make sense. But I mean, he beat Sheamus, and he's in the Fatal Four Way match. Honestly, I think it's just a spot filler. But you know, I'm usually about 97% of the time I'm an optimist, but I'm very critical when it comes to wrestling. But I'm hoping that they do something with Jericho. Actually, I think that would be a nice little twist to it. To be honest with you, Daniel Bryan wins and brings it over the WWE title to SmackDown, and Jericho brings the world title to Raw. I'll be fine with that.
Hey, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would. Then you Brodus Clay defeats The Miz. I will say this about this match. Miz is a part of the list of the Funkasaurus list, or the Funk-a-list to be short, to abbreviate that. But he controlled most of the match. So I think that was a good idea as far as the writing is concerned. It didn't, at least The Miz left with some dignity, out of the match. It wasn't just a squash match, because that just would have, that would have been the icing on the cake, basically. But it was cool. I can see something to be built out of this. There was actually, some rumors and some feelers going around as far as Miz and Brodus Clay at WrestleMania, but we saw, different. But, he actually had control most of the match, and then, Brodus had a little spurt at the end. So I'm cool with it. I'm cool with what I saw with that match.
Yeah, it was actually, like you said, Miz saved face. Ziggler, Swagger, and Miz all have had matches with him, and they haven't been squash matches, but still, they got to get this dude a legitimate, consistent feud that leads to a pay-per-view through the storyline. So, I don't know, maybe after OTL, this is where Alberto Del Rio steps in, because I'm still like, man, why are they not playing this up how Alberto Del Rio played him when he left?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't get it. Maybe they don't want to have Del Rio put Clay over, but yeah, probably because they want Del Rio to be this superstar and they're shoving him down our throats, so yeah, that's probably why, but I would do that. That works for me, and then see where that goes from there.
Yeah, chat line question here. What's former champ will enter the main event scene again sooner, Miz or Swagger? What do you think?
Oh, wow. That's a good call. My gut wants to say Miz, but I think Swagger has the better track. Like, I want to say Miz because I was a Miz fan. I was a Mizfit, but I think Swagger would have the better track, the inside track, being with Vicky.
Yeah.
It just seems like Miz can't really get back to where he was.
Yeah, and that's my thing. That's the reason why I would give the slight edge to Swagger, just because, and to be honest with you, I don't see either of them in the spot that they were in before. I don't see that.
Swagger's was so much quicker, too.
It was.
Up like it's a first-time thing. So
right, exactly.
Kind of like what they did with Sheamus.
Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why I would say this. I would say Swagger sooner, but Miz more as far as longevity wise. I can see that. When Miz becomes a main eventer again, I can see him be a consistent main eventer. Once again, but Swagger gets the first the first shot, the first dibs at a as far as a world title is concerned. I've been saying this every week, Jack Swagger deserves to be on a minor pay-per-view main event. He deserves it. He would put on a clinic. I was hoping actually that I was hoping that he won, this one and actually won against Over the Limit, but I'm cool with Daniel Bryan, but we'll see. I think we both came to a consensus of Jack Swagger. So, And then we see the dark cloud. We see, you know, we see the Cubs win the Super the World Series. Like, wow, you know, Paul Heyman, he returns. When did he leave? I think it was 04, I believe, or
0. I think they said 06.
Was it 06? Really? Wow.
Yeah. I think so, I either read that on WWE or they said it during the broadcast. I can't.
Oh, okay.
I think I heard it 2006.
Because Lesnar left in 04 WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that sounds about right. Because he was GM of SmackDown shortly after that. So yeah, 06 sounds about right. But still, I mean, that's still a 6-year hiatus.
Yeah.
That's still a long time. And, you know, I've been keeping up with, you know, just the current news and stories and things like that. And Heyman, you know, he's been saying, you know, he hasn't said the best of words concerning the WWE product. So it's interesting to see that. Actually, what's being reported is that he'll stay around until SummerSlam. Then he'll just kind of, you know, disappear again. But since I believe Lesnar agreed to about 20 dates for the year, and he's already used 4. So
yeah.
So right now they're talking about, and of course they want to save the majority of the rest of the dates for the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, you know, road. So right now that's true, and I agree. But I guess, you know, I guess on the other end, it was good to see Heyman back, because it was a last minute thing, and they were talking about how this, you know, they decided to do that this week. So
yeah.
He's going to be the spokesperson and the voice box for Lesnar.
Yeah.
You know, and to go on with, I guess, to tie the two in together, it would be good to see Lesnar and Heyman together, but we probably won't see much of that, you know, because of the dates thing. So he cuts a heel promo, of course. He's still captivating on the mic. To me, Heyman's one of the best ever on the mic. He ends up reading a letter that Brock Lesnar wrote up, and at the end, Brock Lesnar quits. So, in its total quotations, because this is clearly a storyline. Clearly a storyline. I'm not a big fan of how they wrote this up. I think that I think that they could have actually done a better job with, you know, drawing suspense of Lesnar staying or going, but just to say that he quit, I don't think that was the best option. Just because, I mean, everybody knows that it's a storyline, so we're like, oh, okay, he quits. No, not really. So it didn't really have any type of suspense when I heard that. You know, I almost immediately said, oh, okay, well, what's, you know, this isn't real. You know, he didn't actually quit. So, you know, they could have came up with something better to me.
Oh, yeah. And I agree with you. I love Heyman. I mean, the voice, the words, the promos, whatever. I mean, I love it all. Always have, always will. I disagreed with WWE only signing Lesnar for 20 dates. That's insane to me. Like, they knew they needed him more than 20 dates. And I hate to not talk about this promo, but it's, I mean, we got 52 weeks in a year, so that's 52 Mondays, 52 Raws, 12 pay-per-views. That's what, 64?
Yeah.
64 shows,
so
right there.
Less
you're going to need him. yeah, you're going to need him more than that. But, I mean, that's, they dug that hole, so yeah, we'll watch them climb out of it. But and then the one stat that Heyman said about Brock being the only WWE, UFC, and NCAA Division I champ. I mean, that's
That's an awesome feat, man. I mean, I know WWE is entertainment, but still, that's an awesome feat to be able to. You got to have some physique, some athleticism there. So
yeah.
Kudos
yeah.
to him on that one. Yeah.
To be able to transcend all of those, types of sports. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. And then I wouldn't really pay much more attention to this. I mean, I like to see Heyman, but we'll see him come out and speak for Lesnar, like you said, up until around SummerSlam. I guess they'll have Triple H pedigree Heyman at SummerSlam, and then we won't see Heyman for a while. So
another six
that's
years.
That's my future call of yeah.
That sounds about right. I definitely want to see Heyman in Lesnar's corner at SummerSlam. Please, WWE, do that. Please don't have him be the voice of Lesnar until then. And we do something to write him off before the pay per view. We got to see that. We got to see SummerSlam's the next big pay per view, and we need to see Heyman in Lesnar's corner. So that
would you have. Would you have Brock show up before SummerSlam or not until SummerSlam for anticipation?
I would have the go home show for SummerSlam. I would have Lesnar show up for the go home show, just to do some type of generic
clearing.
Split
them apart. Yeah.
This is what I would do. I would have. He's not advertised to come back. That's one of the things. Short sidebar. That's one of the things that gets on my nerves with WWE. I guess it's all about ratings, and they got to just announce it before, just to cause people to want to see it. But I would not announce it. It would be an unannounced. Somehow you got some type of mid-card intercontinental or U.S. champion title or something like that. Whoever is going to be a mid-card, star around that time. Try to vie for the, say, for instance, you got Tyson Kidd, just a random intercontinental title defense. Say that Cody Rhodes keeps it then. Tyson Kidd has a random intercontinental title shot against Cody Rhodes. Tyson Kidd, gets an interview. Hey, here's your time. Josh Matthews says, here's your opportunity to become world. To become Intercontinental Champion. Tyson Kidd cuts a promo. All of a sudden, Lesnar beats the crap out of both of them. So, and then, that calls suspense for that. And this happens, this is like segment one or two. This happens early in the night. And then Triple H cuts a promo to end Raw. And then Lesnar comes out. And then they do the whole security scuffling, type of thing. That would be a cliffhanger to go into SummerSlam. To me, that would be a well drawn out way to have Lesnar come back beforehand.
Yeah.
So we saw the main event: Lord Tensai and Daniel Bryan. Well, it was originally Lord Tensai, but because CM Punk made fun of John Laurinaitis, it became a impromptu handicap match. Daniel Bryan becomes the teammate of Lord Tensai, and Tensai gets the pin on CM Punk, and then after that, Daniel Bryan puts him in the yes lock a couple times and says yes. Oh, man. Just Tensai pins CM Punk. Just enough already, please. I just don't see. Oh my gosh, I don't like it. I'm trying my best. I've pretty much pulled the plug on it. Honestly, as far as Tensai is concerned, it's been a month just about. I think it's been a month, maybe even 5 weeks. Maybe the Mania right after Raw, if I'm not mistaken. either the Mania right after or the week after that. Actually, you know what? Did he debut the same day as Lesnar? Because Lesnar came the Monday after Raw. And
I'm not sure.
He may have debuted because that was a stacked. I remember that was a stacked Raw that day. So he may have debuted then. So we're talking 5 weeks here, and that was, you know, that's just too much. Yeah, I think so, because it was Alex Riley was his first opponent. I think it was that Raw right after Mania. But yeah, I've just about pulled the plug on Tensai. I mean him having the fall. I mean, there's no direction with him. He's just beating up. And one of the comments that was good. As far as the article that I wrote about Tensai, was talking about how you know, he could have came back as an enforcer and things like that. I'm cool. See, here's the thing. I'm cool with Tensai coming back as an enforcer. I would have preferred for him to come back as A-Train or Albert. He was A-Train last, but even if he wanted to come back with Albert, I would be fine with him coming back as an enforcer, as A-Train the enforcer for Laurinaitis. And to be honest with you, pinning Cena and Punk wouldn't have been as criticized as Tensai doing it, because it's the gimmick that gets me. The gimmick is outdated. It's purposeless. I mean, they're trying their best to make it work. They're not. It's not working. People still, you know, chant Albert. And the crazy thing is, he wasn't even Albert when he left. He was A-Train.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that's what makes it even worse to a degree. So it's not working for me. And it just seems like they don't want to put their foot in their mouth and say, you know, this is a bad call. And they're still just kind of continuing it. And I've just about pulled the plug on that guy.
Oh, boy. Wow. I mean, this is, as you know, in movies, everyone, how you have in the cop movies, you have good cop, bad cop doing the interrogation. With me and Chris here, it's always been, I guess you could say, good fan, bad fan, because I give a lot of the superstars just a little more slack on their leash than he does. And this is definitely, yeah, you see, he agrees. This is definitely a classic case, because I'm not saying I'm sold and I'm big on Tensai. I'm just okay with this. Like, I'm okay with where he's at. And let me explain why, because like you said, he was A-Train when he left, and they just plugged him going overseas to Japan, and he comes back with this gimmick. Okay, I get that. That's cool. Maybe if they didn't plug that, I'd be a little like, hey, what's going on here? You can't pull the wool over our eyes. But, see, I'm okay, because I don't want him to be on the – it's like Alberto Del Rio. I don't want him to be on the world title level. Like, looking at this match, I was like, one of these three guys doesn't belong. Can we spot which one is different from the others?
The ref.
yeah, but I mean, I felt they should have left it as a one-on-one and just had Punk screw, or had Brian just screw Punk over to build more tension for OTL, and then that way they'd have been able to say that Tensai pinned Cena and Punk in one-on-one matches and give him the U.S. title shot maybe at the pay-per-view or something. Because I think as long as he stays on that level, I'm fine. Because he's not world title material. I would say Del Rio over him being world title material any day, but I'm okay with this. Don't get me wrong, I'm not 100%. It's maybe a high number. I may be at about 70, but I'm okay with it. I just don't like the head markings, the head tattoo thing, that's a little bit too much. But I guess I'm only okay with it because they talked about how he went to Japan and came back a different person. Mm-hmm. So
Maybe that's my only reason.
Ooh,
and
man.
Who knows? Maybe after this, I'll give him another month. I can say that. I'll give him another month. Let's see if they build a storyline. That's all. I'll just wait for that. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
I'm
being a good fan.
Yeah. And I highly respect you for that. But the problem is,
I can see how people don't like, you know, I can understand that too.
By beating Cena, here's my take on this right quick. And what you said was well said. I don't think it's worthy of an argument or a debate, because you know it was mapped out, it was put together well. This is my only thing. I don't see the WWE conceding to say, okay, well, we want him to come and be a top guy, not really working, so let's make him an upper mid-carder. I don't see that happening. I see, okay, we're making him a top guy. It's not working. He's not over. So let's force him to be over, no matter what anybody thinks about it. And that's what I've seen. That's what I've seen with the Cena win that led to nowhere. That's what I see with the Punk win that doesn't seem like it has anything in the foreseeable future. And just watching him wrestle, I've watched Giant Bernard wrestle. I've watched Albert, Prince Albert, A-Train. The list goes on.
Yeah.
I've seen all of them facets of Matt Bloom wrestle, and I have to say that this gimmick is the worst Matt Bloom gimmick that I have seen since his debut in 1999. I just don't like it. If he's a henchman, why does he have a manager? Like, I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
What is Sakamoto's point? Because he tried to, you know, when they tried to cut a promo, Sakamoto was about to talk, and then Tensai interfered, you know, with him. So he's not his mouthpiece. He's not, you know, who is he? You know, what does he do? You know, as far as take him back to FCW. You know, I'm sure that I don't, you know, I've seen FCW episodes on the internet. I've never seen him wrestle, but you know, he's in FCW, so I guess he's worthy of, you know, being a decent wrestler at least. You know what I mean? It from someone for them to recruit someone from the indies to take him to FCW, then that's an accomplishment in itself. And so, to, you know, of course, I know that Abraham Rushington, he wrestles as well. He's a wrestler, you know. But they're bringing him as a manager. So, you know, and they did that before. I don't remember the guy's name. It'll come to me. The ECW host back in the day, Braxton. Whatever his name is. He's a wrestler. You know, he actually was in NXT as well. Post ECW. Announcer. So, you know, these people are wrestlers, but they're plugging them in certain roles. Sakamoto, I'm sure that he's a good wrestler. Byron Saxton, thank you. Chat room. Byron Saxton. I don't see Sakamoto's point. He comes out, he entered, I guess he walks out before Tensai. I guess they want to add that type of suspense. I just don't see no purpose in it. If he wants to be a henchman for Laurinaitis, be a henchman for Laurinaitis. It seemed like it would be a lot more rugged and it would be a lot more rugged and just authentic if he came in as A-Train or an Albert, because he's not so trapped in his gimmick. Because, you know, I wrote in my article, I'm not going to say, okay, well, if you left and wasn't a top guy, you know, you can't come back and be a top guy. I wrote that in my article. I'm not saying that. I don't agree with that, because Jeff Hardy did it and Eddie Guerrero did it, just to name two. But he can be a top guy, maybe as A-Train, you know, at least he can have some. I would just be more okay with him coming back as A-Train and them building him in that way. Because don't, you know, you can't fool fans like yourself and I. You know, you can't fool most of the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, as far as the marks are concerned. You know what I mean? They know their stuff for the most part. And, of course, you have a few people that, you know, speaks out of ignorance and being irrational with a lot of their comments. But a lot of them knows their stuff, you know. And it's really hard. I mean, you really had a couple strikes to me. He already had a couple strikes with him by coming in this gimmick and just, you know, having these squash matches. It was boring. It was dull. And it's hard, man. It's really hard for me. And I never want to completely pull the plug on someone. You know what I mean? And I'm like, you know, I'll give them a shot. You know, but it's very it's getting worse. I'll come to that compromise with you. I'll give him one more month. So we're looking at let's do this. You know, the episode after June's No Way Out pay per view. Mm-hmm. I will give you my final verdict on Tensai, and that's the compromise. Now it's going to be hard. That's about 6 weeks.
Yeah,
it's going to be really hard.
We may even forget about him. You never know. So
yeah, that's true.
He can fall off the wayside. But I mean, this is, folks. You see it right here. It's Pancakes and Power Slam. Everybody, we all have our own opinions. I guess that's our good fan, bad fan segment.
So, yeah, yeah.
We got a new segment for you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm cool with that. We'll see. We'll see. I've got my hand on the plug, and you know, I'm pulling away. You know, I haven't totally pulled it out the socket, but I'm making that move. I'll come to a compromise. I'll make my final verdict. The episode after June's No Way Out pay-per-view in about 5 to 6 weeks. So we'll see how that happens. It's going to be hard for me because 5 weeks of Tensai is brutal. But we'll come to that compromise here. So we'll go to SmackDown. Of course, like we do every week. Feel free to call in 347-884-8452. Once again, the number is 347-884-8452. Thank you so much for listening to us. Of course, this is Pancakes and Power Slams, presented by Crave Wrestling. And WWE SmackDown last week, like we do every week with SmackDown, Impact Wrestling, and ROH here. Need some time for Flavor of the Week too, so we're just going to go quickly on here. Saw the Sheamus promo. He steals his yes chance, Daniel Bryan's yes chance. That actually is, if anything, that's actually helped. It's kind of weird that they do that, but he's actually Daniel Bryan's actually gaining more heat and actually say no, because at the end of Raw they were saying no when he was saying yes. So if any, you know, they're trying their best to defuse that yes craze. But he beats Daniel Bryan by DQ, interrupted by Alberto Del Rio. Nice flying crossbody block by Ricardo Rodriguez. R-Truth and Kofi Kingston defeats Hunico and Camacho. I believe this is the first SmackDown. Maybe I think it may have been some Battle Royals, but as far as so we saw appearance by the All World Enterprises again. R-Truth and Kofi look good as a team. So, Brodus Clay defeated Jack Swagger by count out. Good move still, you know, with Brodus Clay. And Swagger walks out and continues the feud. Damian Sandow refused to fight Derek Bateman. Derek Bateman demands a match, and Ryback comes out and dominates. Big Show and Randy Orton defeated Kane and Cody Rhodes. Layla defeated Natalya, and then and then at the end, Sheamus defeats Daniel Bryan because he comes out and wants to fight again. So, beats him clean, which is very interesting. So, decent SmackDown. Solid show. Damian Sandow is hilarious. The way he holds the mic is hilarious to me.
But Sandow, man, like, were they not ready? I don't know. To have him come all the way out like that threw me off a little bit. So Ryback, I was calling him Ryberg because they continue to chant Goldberg. So yeah, that nice. Name might stick. I may not ever call him Ryback again. So yeah, this was pretty solid SmackDown. Funkasaurus just showed he's athletic enough to hang there and work matches. Like I said, let's keep booking him. My goal is to have him be a serious face by the end of the summer. That we're going to work hard towards that. So maybe. Camacho was all right. He has a pretty mean clothesline that he did on Kofi outside the ring. That was pretty intense. And then my only other thing here, because the Kane and Rhodes versus Orton show, that's just, I don't even want to talk about that because that's lazy booking to me. But Kudiko, I mean, I like the guy, but man, he really dropped the ball with that. He could still be Sin Cara Negro,
yes.
Or he could have been Sin Cara regular.
Azul,
The real Sin Cara was hurt. So I don't understand it, man. They did that whole thing way too early. He shouldn't have debuted like that. So that's really all I took from there, and then. Just another nosebleed Eve promo. Yikes.
I like that nickname, Nosebleed Eve. On to Impact Wrestling here. Flair calls out Hogan. Hogan appoints Flair as judge for Gut Check Challenge. Brooke Tessmacher and Velvet Sky defeated Gail Kim and Madison Rain. Tessmacher defeated Kim with her own move called Eat the Feet. RVD chooses Mr. Anderson for Rude, and Rude chooses Jeff Hardy. Devon defeated Robbie T by DQ. We saw backstage discussion of Alex Silva by Bruce Pritchard, Ric Flair, and Al Snow. And then RVD defeated Jeff Hardy. And at the end here, we saw a backstage segment with Joseph Park and Bully Ray. Then we saw a backstage segment with Jeremy Borash and Bully Ray. They go to the ring, interrupted by Austin Aries. Then we saw Styles, Joe, and Magnus defeat Angle, Daniels, and Kazarian. Then we saw Alex Silva. He gets the TNA contract. The Gut Check Challenge. And Bobby Roode defeated Mr. Anderson with interference from Jeff Hardy. I actually liked this TNA episode. I was cool with it. Couple of things that kind of surprised me or threw me off a little bit. RVD, I don't know if it was a potential hit from Jeff Hardy to Bobby Roode. I just don't understand that because that was just a little, just threw me off a little bit. And then Alex Silva, man, his promo was nice. It sold me. It sold Flair. Flair was antagonizing the whole time, but it sold me. It seemed very genuine, and that was actually my favorite part of the show. The Austin Aries Bully Ray segment is actually one of my favorites as well. So, solid show altogether.
This is where we could differ. Sometimes TNA can be a chore to watch. I'm not going to say this episode was totally, but I mean, but just I'll just say this. I don't even really need to go over the show because you pretty much got it. But Hogan, what is he doing? He's like, maybe it's a bold statement, but Hogan is a joke on TNA to me. Like, I just don't. I feel like he's tarnishing his career. Like, he just needs to not. He doesn't even have to be on TV anymore. I don't know if he needs the money or what, but to me, I just feel like no. And then the Hogan and Flair thing, what are they doing? For any of the superstars in WWE that were complaining about The Rock and Brock Lesnar coming back, hey, it could be worse. You could be in TNA, and Hogan and Flair could be stealing all your thunder. So
good point.
They need to shut up and just produce. How about that? I mean, that's all I got. I mean, another bold statement, I personally like ROH better. I like the matches in Ring of Honor better. I like Bobby Roode on TNA, but other than that, I mean, I really, because all those past WWE superstars, they don't do it for me on TNA. They just, yeah. I don't know what it is. I don't get into them on there.
I understand.
Yeah, other than Capzilla and
Bobby Roode.
No, Capzilla and Devon. What's his name now?
Oh, you're talking about you're talking about former WWE stars.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, those two. But as for a TNA star, Bobby Roode is actually, I like him. Now, not in the Samoa Joe, not really AJ Styles. I'm kind of on the borderline, but I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of ROH, we'll go there to their ROH TV. Tommaso Ciampa defeated Matt Taven. Matt Mondo defeated TJ Perkins. And Kevin Steen defeated Kyle O'Reilly. Kevin Steen had the F5 pass rush. They can't do the package power driver. So, double arm DDT. Wow. TJ Perkins was ribbed like the it made Randy Orton's look elementary. He's a great wrestler. Definitely gets to show his presence in Spirit Squad WWE days. Solid match. Solid ROH. I mean, like you said, just a bunch of competition every week, and they definitely do a great job. Matt Taven, he has a lot of potential to me. I like the kid. So, post match at the end of the television show, we saw All Night Express. Post match attached by Young Bucks. Then All Night Express makes the save, and there was just a melee between Davey Richards, Kyle O'Reilly, Kevin Steen, and Jimmy Jacobs, which ended the show. So, you know, hey, like I said before, a week or two ago, as far as action, as far as quality action, I got to give it to ROH over TNA. Of course, you got the production and, you know, two-hour show and, you know, storyline builds and things like that. But, you know, TNA favors in that area. But, you know, it's just a money thing because if ROH, and I think I've said this before, if ROH had the budget that TNA has, oh, there'll be a sure second. They have good home built talent. You know, of course, you have a lot of former WWE and TNA superstars as well, but they have some homegrown talent. Kyle O'Reilly, Davey Richards. I mean, they've been in indies before, but Davey Richards, Kyle O'Reilly, the list goes on. Tommaso Ciampa, Matt Taven, like I said, Kevin Steen. There's a lot of the Briscoe brothers. You know, I can go on and on as far as, you know, homegrown talent that's making a name for themselves in ROH. So you know, I'll say that, you know, quality of wrestling, you know, ROH definitely favors.
Yeah, Kevin Steen is my guy, man. it's shocking how much each week I'm like, man, this guy is okay. Yeah. I mean, I like him on the mic. I like the action. You know, he's a huskier guy, but he's putting it all out there. So a little athletic for his size. I like it.
Yep.
I just continue to be impressed with Ring of Honor matches. I mean, they put on good matches. I mean, because it's, like you said, 1 hour, they don't have a lot of time. So let's just put all our eggs in a basket and go out here and put on good matches. Just second week in a row, I haven't got to see Jay Lethal in the ring. That's all I want, little Jay Lethal trying to get me to buy the pay-per-view. I know what they're up to.
Yeah, exactly. That's the cliffhanger. It's setting everybody up for Border Wars. That's I believe it's this weekend, actually. That's the internet pay-per-view. Border Wars, I believe it's Saturday. And I believe it's like $15 on the internet. So setting us up for Border Wars. So it's it should be a good pay-per-view. So yeah, we will go on to the Flavor of the Week. Got a little bit of time here. Got about 10 minutes. So let's go to the Flavor of the Week. This week's Flavor of the Week is we're going to map out wrestlers who would make the Undertaker 25-0. Now, we came to the consensus that he is 20-0. And so we're going to pick five wrestlers. I will go first here. 21-0. I've conceded. I still rather see Sheamus and Lesnar, but I'm doing this for a reason. I'm doing Lesnar next year, WrestleMania 29, just for the sake of most likely he'll be done after that. There's a really high chance that he'll be done. He may re-sign, but WrestleMania 30, taking on Lesnar, that just doesn't cut it for me. So WrestleMania 29, I'm cool with Lesnar putting Taker over, which leads me to 30. 30, I'll put John Cena, which would make him 22-0. Just that monumental number, WrestleMania 30, Undertaker versus John Cena, that will do it. WrestleMania 30, of course, they're going to put... You know, they're going to put so much stock into it. WrestleMania 20 actually had the most buys. I believe it's 1.3 million. So they broke a record as far as the most buys ever. So 30, they want to, of course, they want to keep topping that and eclipsing that number. So I can definitely see 30 being Cena and Taker. 31, I'll put CM Punk. Just because, you know, 3 years from now, CM Punk is definitely going to be around. But face or heel, he'll definitely grow. He'll definitely gain some experience and, you know, some longevity as a wrestler. More of a legendary role as a WWE superstar in 3 years' time. So I can definitely see a CM Punk Taker. 29, I'll put Wade Barrett, just because I believe that 29 is going to be more of a throwaway. You know, this is all, you know, projections here, because I believe the first episode we were saying that if Taker comes back, we definitely don't want to see just 21-0 and him leave that way. You know, at WrestleMania 29, being 21-0, that's just an odd way of leaving and ending your career. So, if anything, it'd be best for him to, you know, if he's wrestling once a year, he can definitely, you know, stay in shape or be out of shape for 6 months and then do some heavy training for WrestleMania, so he can definitely make it happen. So he'll definitely have enough 5 years left in him if he chooses to do that. Wade Barrett for 24-0. I think that 25-0 would be The Rock. That would be my choice for Taker to end. his legendary career. So that would be my five for the next 5 years, and I think that will work.
Yeah, we kind of we got a couple of agreements on here. I think three out of my five you had. But I'll go, like you said, WrestleMania 29, which will be his 21st opponent, Brock Lesnar. This goes back to my flavor of the week last week. I said Brock Lesnar's reunion tour. So his 20th date would be WrestleMania, and then Taker could get his redemption, of course. WrestleMania 30 would be his 22nd opponent. I went with The Rock. This one is kind of like I don't know, they kind of work it like how they did Triple H. They could say the end of an era, but then Taker would be back next year and Rock would be back next year.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then WrestleMania 31, which would be his 23rd opponent, I said Kane, but my good reasoning was they could play this up like Rock and Stone Cold was played up at WrestleMania 19, how they had it took Rock three manias to beat Taker. Now, of course, Taker, I'm not saying he should lose, but they could always use that angle, and because it was real, I like the third time's a charm. I like that WrestleMania 19 match with Rock and Austin.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
How they played that up. WrestleMania 32 would be his 24th opponent. Just a little cop-out here. I couldn't decide which one of these guys, so I just, whoever is the most heelish at the time, and I'm sorry to take the easy way out, but I had here for, it'd be between Ziggler, Miz, Daniel Bryan, Cody Rhodes, Del Rio, or Wade Barrett. So whoever is the largest heel at the time.
A gauntlet match.
Yeah. Yeah, one of those guys, you know, who's ever got the superstar power there to work it. And then WrestleMania 33, I know it's not an anniversary number, but the 25 and 0 would be, definitely would have to be John Cena. Who knows, Cena may be on his way out since he never takes a freaking day off.
Yeah, true.
But this would be the end-all, say-all, I mean, because you never know. Well, at least I never know what they're going to do with Cena or who they'll have him beat up until he lost to The Rock. Kind of lost a little bit of that steam. But still, I mean, you don't know with Superman Cena. So, and I'm not taking shots at him. Cena's my guy, but you just don't know. So
that would
be a good way to make it to 25.
Yeah, that's a good point. that's definitely a good point because I believe I'm about 99% pushing towards 100% positive that he would be, yeah, I'm 100% positive because he turned 35 in April, and so that means that he will be 36 come 29, and so, yeah, he'll be 40. He'll be 40 years old come 33. So, well, actually,
can't go that hard.
He'll be, actually, let me see, he'll be 41, right?
Yeah.
If he's 35 now, he'll be 35 at WrestleMania 29, so 30, 31, 32, 33, add four more years, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that's about, 15 years without a day off? I mean, you can't.
Yeah,
that's
wow.
Insane. No other superstar is doing that. Everybody else is taking time off. I don't care what you say.
That's true.
At least not a WWE schedule. So,
yeah.
Tough on the body.
Yeah, that's very true there. Yeah, he'll be 40. He'll be 40 because he'll be 35 come next WrestleMania, turning 36, and yeah, so he'll be 40 years old come WrestleMania 33. So definitely, that's kind of like basketball years. It's not old, but it's old. You know, you put a lot of physical, you know, strain on your body for that long time, and you know, by the time, especially John Cena, I mean, you know, he's the I have been a rational Cena antagonist. That is my okay. new title when it comes to John Cena, the rational Cena antagonist. I'm still not a fan at all, but I've rationally understood, you know, and has given credit to John Cena in many ways. He's one of the best promo cutters of modern history, definitely arguably WWE history. And he's a great worker. I mean, I'll give it to him. You know, he's
work ethic.
His work ethic is unparalleled. Just about, you know, I would say that Miz had some good work ethic. Still do, but it's definitely that was one of the reasons why they decided to give him a title run, because his work ethic was good too. So I'll give it to him.
And then,
you know,
I would say just real quick, like how they complain about guys like Lesnar and Rock coming back but not really coming back. But then I got to say, I'm kind of jumping on that bandwagon with the rest of the people who say that, because, I mean, look at Jericho. He came back, and he's got other things going on, but he's still here. He's still around, and he's coming back just a job. These guys are coming back to win and just take a payday and promote something and leave.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
So I can see why the others get upset in the back. I get it now.
I can, too, because you, for so long, you've got people that tries to, you know, try to get that one spot, you know, and, you know, just to be snatched, you know, by the part-time clan. So, yeah, very good point. But, yeah,
I mean,
that's
look
what
Rock
wrap up.
Did for Cena at Mania. That's,
kind
of ruined his character for the year.
He didn't put him over. Like, if he would have put Cena over, and many people know, most of the WWE fans that know me and people that, you know me through different, you know, aspects of this show and Twitter and Bleacher Report, they know that I'm not a Cena fan at all. But, hey, Rock should have put Cena over. And I definitely, you know, if Hogan did that for him, you know, 10 years back, he should have definitely done that. You know, he should have passed the baton. So, that was very, very, very heated, very, very good show. Thank you all for listening. And, you know the deal. Support us through Twitter, at Crave Wrestling, through Facebook, like Crave Wrestling. Spread the word. Let everybody know about Crave Wrestling. Tuesdays, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. I mean, you know, call early. We'll participate in the chat room.
Flavor of the week next week.
Yes, flavor of the week next week. I'll let you take that real quick.
Yeah, next week I want to flavor of the week next week. Just the evolution of Triple H's career, all the way from terrorizing and WCW to being on the Money Mayweather team last Saturday. So that's a long road there. So, yeah, nice flavor of the week next week. So we'll have a lot to talk about.
Awesome. Terrorizing. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Be sure to join us next week. Spread the word about Crave Wrestling next Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Have a great week, and we will be here next week, so be ready for us. Terrorizing, shout out. Have a good night.